Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast for today. We're so blessed that you're joining us again. We are concluding our interview today with John Meacham. John has received a message and has researched it extensively and has prayed about how to share it. And it's called The Seven Messages to the American Church. And we started with part one yesterday. Today we're concluding this first interview. It'll be a series of seven interviews, and some of them may be part one and part two, but this is a series that is very needful to be heard in the American and in the Western churches right now, because we have slipped so far from what the true Christian faith is supposed to be. And I'm not talking about Catholic or Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian or anything like that. I'm talking about the Book of Acts church. All right. When you look at the first church, don't you think the original is supposed to set the pattern for the entire thing? You have some denominations today that swear up and down that all the miracles and all the healings and everything else passed away with the last of the apostles. But yet we're told to pattern ourselves after the way they'd lived. So, you know, you can't have it both ways. And I'm not going to get into, you know, calling names or anything like that today, but these are the messages that is needful in the American church. We as a society in America have just let sin run rampant, not just in America, but in the church. Back when I was growing up, if someone was divorced, that was a big thing and talked about in the church. Today, you got people shacking up that are in the pulpit together. So, you know, don't tell me that, you know, society has gotten better. We have become the Sodom and Gomorrah of the modern age. And it's time to wake up the church. And that's what John Meacham is doing. If you missed any of yesterday's episode, go back and listen to it, catch up, because we're jumping right back into this as we're talking about denominational differences. Just because you might believe that you got to be baptized 27 times upside down and three more times on Sunday.
Don't put me in there upside down. I'll drown.
Well, you know, I mean, that, you know, I go back to, you know, the thief hanging on the cross. He didn't get baptized at all.
You know? No, and you will be with heaven with me today. And I think, yeah. Pastor Bob, I think it's actually worse than that. I think there's a mental process that's gone on, and they've couched it under, at least for the more some of the larger denominations like the Presbyterians, the Episcopals, mm-hmm. the Lutherans, and some of those, they've couched it in the word reform.
Yep.
So I'll be honest with you, I did something I had never done in preparing for our interview today. I went back and read Martin Luther, the original reformer. I read his 95 theses that he nailed to the church there.
Yep.
He did not say a single word about reforming the Bible to what we want it to say. He didn't say you can do this or do that now because Reformed tradition now allows things that were not allowed before in Scripture. He was trying to reform the church.
Yeah.
The church had become so focused on money that he was trying to reform the church to be focused on heaven, to be focused on God. He even specifically said, you cannot have a sermon that talks too much about money. You got to talk about spiritual things. But nowadays, the reformist, I didn't mean to get on this bandwagon.
No.
The reformists say it's a liberal and conservative issue. A lot of these issues, particularly ordaining homosexuals and performing same-sex marriages, they have very specific biblical references. Jesus in 19:4-5 restates exactly what Genesis 2:24 is, and in 1 Corinthians 6:9, you know, Paul specifically lists certain sins that are just not acceptable. we can't say, no, erase that one. Reformed theology allows us to erase that one. No, take that Genesis passage and take that Matthew passage and just cross it out and reprint the Bible. We can't do that.
Right.
It's just wrong.
Yep. Amen. Amen. And, you know, I'm not going to talk bad about a brother or sister pastor and stuff, but, you know, the reformist message is, you know, how can I say this, Lord, in a polite way? The message I continue to hear is, you know, there are no miracles today. There are no, you know, speaking in tongues today. There's no apostles, prophets today. All that passed away with the apostles, you know.
Go ahead.
I look at it from the point of view of, if God put it in the Bible, that's there for a reason. And if it's there for a reason, that means it's a tool that can be used in the day and the hour in which the person reading the Bible is alive. You know, if it's 300 years ago and Smith Wigglesworth, you know, he read it, he believed it, and he had the results to prove it. And the same thing today. And just because a denomination says, well, that's not the way we believe, well, I lead them to Peter walking on the water. You know, I mean, you know, we talked about this before. Here, you know, Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come out to you on the water. And what's Jesus going to say? Well, now, Peter, you know, you don't have faith enough to do that. You know, no, he said, come on out, boy. You know,
and exactly. But Peter, I remember that night.
Yeah,
I remember that night. Peter kind of lost his nerve.
Well, you know, he's climbing out of the boat, and the other guys are like, Peter, we do not walk on water in this organization. What are you doing? Get back in this boat. You know, I mean, you know.
Well, I want to go back to one of my themes in all of this, and you and I have talked about it, and you alluded to it a minute ago, and picking back up in the sermon. The next theme is Jesus says, be born again, I am full of truth. We cannot understand the spiritual world. Well, let me just read it here.
Yeah.
Jesus once again proclaims, I am telling you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born again. You just can't see it.
Right.
So many of these pastors, church members that are preaching this message are not born again. They are interpreting Christianity from an intellectual and a physical point of view. They are not interpreting it from a spiritual point of view.
Right.
And Christianity is a spiritual religion. It is the greatest, the only mystery religion that actually lasted. But it's not definable in physical terms.
Right.
And, you know, I ask the questions here, does anybody today even care about the kingdom of God? Or are we all so controlled by the kingdoms of sex and money that spiritual riches of heaven hold no glory to the golds of glow of the world's pleasure? Jesus once again says, I am telling you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Hearing this proclamation from Jesus, we must ask, how many millions of today's Christians who are not born of water and the Spirit are bound for the kingdom of Satan?
Yeah.
And are these same Christians longing to be born again of sex and money rather than water in the Spirit? Jesus goes on to tell Nicodemus, do not be surprised, because I tell you that you must all be born again. The wind blows wherever it wishes. You hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it is coming from or where it is going. It is like that with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I write, brothers and sisters, the sound we hear today is the silence of death sweeping over Christ's darkening church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And the point is opening the eyes of the blind. And there are blind leaders of the blind in our churches today. So many pastors are just blind to spiritual things. You know,
they don't see them.
It's a career for them.
They don't even see them. They don't even know it's there.
Yep, exactly. They've made it into a career choice rather than a calling.
Amen.
A calling.
Amen. Amen. Preach, preach it, Pastor Bob. That is the problem in the churches today. It's a career. Being a church pastor is a career to make money and have a good life for your family and a secure retirement, and not a calling from Jesus Christ where you get up on the cross every day and you sacrifice everything you have for Christ, because he saved you. And as a pastor, he puts you out there. Every pastor in every pulpit, every Sunday, I wish they would pray, Lord, fill me with thy Holy Spirit, and may I reflect the words of Jesus Christ to my congregation. And then they become a prophet, because a prophet doesn't foretell the future. Some do, but a prophet is someone who gives a divine message.
If they're delivering
a divine message each Sunday from Jesus Christ, the people will hear it.
Yep. Amen. I learned, oh gosh, this was probably 20 years ago, I guess, that a priest is an intercessor, a speaker between man and God. You take man's problems and take them to God. A prophet is the intercessor between God and man. The prophet takes the messages from God and gives them to man. So there's two distinct roles.
Amen.
Two distinct roles.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
It's that wonderful and that simple. It really is. Any preacher in any pulpit, male or female, any Sunday that's delivering a message from Jesus Christ is a prophet.
Yeah.
Any and all of them.
That's right. If you are preaching a message from the Bible, which I pray these pastors are preaching a message from the Bible, but there are some that I've seen, they don't even have a Bible on stage with them, you know, and they just give this.
Oh, that's horrible. That is absolutely horrible.
They can quote it. Oh, they'll quote a scripture, you know, like, you know, Philippians 4:19, and you know.
Because it's in their notes.
Yeah. Well, they've got it memorized, and, you know, it sticks with their theme of, you know, God loves you, and he wants to give all his children the absolute best in life. Well, folks, following Jesus.
If he crucified his own dear son, what's he going to do with us?
Yeah. You know, you're either, when you follow Jesus, put it like this, you are either a leader, a follower, or you're just getting in the way, to paraphrase a military term, you know, analogy that we used to use. You either lead, follow, or get out of the way. And since we are called by Jesus to, you know, Jesus says, follow me, you know, you follow me, I would suffice to say that he should be our leader, which means you personally fall into one of the two other categories. So you can either be a follower, which means you let him lead, or you just get in his way and get in the way of other followers as well, and that hinders the message from getting out.
Amen. No. This is exactly what this sermon is about. You just keyed into the next line in the sermon. Jesus says, follow me. I am the Christ.
Amen.
The question for this era is, will Christian churches follow their church pastor to the very gates of hell?
Oh, man.
Or will Christian churches follow Jesus to the very narrow gate of heaven? Remember, the gates of hell are wide, and church pastors are seeking to better their own station in life can lead you right to the feet of Satan himself.
Yeah.
But the gate of heaven is narrow, and only a church pastor filled with the Holy Spirit and following Jesus can lead you right before the very throne of God.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And that flies right in the face of these prosperity, you know,
You're keying into the next paragraph now. Ooh.
I think the Holy Spirit's onto something here.
I think he's on to us.
what's the next part say then?
Christians, beware. You know, and we talked about these warnings last time, and if I could talk about these warnings every week, it's fine.
It's still not enough.
Christians, beware. Any church pastor preaching prosperity, for they are leading you to hell.
Yeah.
These church pastors crave the gold that the visitors from the east gave to Jesus, and they will sell your soul to Satan to gain this treasure.
Mm.
You know, I've written quite a bit and spoken out against the person I feel is the number one prosperity preacher in the world. It's Joel Osteen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He has a great following. He's very wealthy. He's done real well. And so in order to do that, I had to listen to a few of his messages, and I did that. And I had to read one of his books. And what I finally came to the conclusion, he's not preaching the word of Jesus Christ. He's preaching the teachings of Abraham Maslow, the man that came up with Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Because what Joel Osteen does, he promotes a better life for ourselves. Maslow had topped his needs off with self-actualization. I think they've added a few since then. But Pastor Bob, you and I both know the nature of sin is self. Mm-hmm. And the message of Christianity is sacrifice.
Yep.
You know, we can't preach prosperity. We can't preach a method in the world. You know, I can't believe this thought just popped in my head. I'm not going to say the person I read it came from because I'm not exactly positive. But one of the prominent early prosperity preachers said that, Jesus wasn't poor. He and Andrew and Peter and James and John, all those, they had a very prosperous fishing business, and they were rich. There is nothing in the world that could be more wrong. Jesus died penniless, and his mother and his cousin John and his aunt and two other Marys were there at the cross. He didn't have a dime.
Why would they need a treasurer?
Contributions.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
You know, and I don't see how people can preach that. And, you know, it's not just prosperity, though. It's just on the website at the sermon, it says, Christians, beware any church pastor preaching sexual immorality, for they are leading you to hell. These church pastors worship in a kingdom of sexual preference, and they will call on you to bow down to Satan and join his followers on Jesus' bed of suffering. You remember the letter to the church at Thyatira where Jezebel was leading all these people into adultery. Yep. And Jesus said, I'm going to throw y'all on this bed of suffering. Every church pastor, every church leader that is now promoting the ordination of homosexuals and the performance of same-sex marriages, they've thrown us all on that bed of suffering.
Yep, that's right. That's right. And you know, I'm not going to get into the political discussion about one party over another, but you know, when your pastor supports and tells you to support a political party that every possible thing that is anti-godly in nature is promoted by that party, but you support it just because your pastor said to, that is leading your flock straight to hell. You know?
You want to hear a really scary story about that?
Go ahead.
The last of these warnings is, Christians, beware any church pastor preaching the ways of the world, for they are leading you to hell.
Oh, there you
These
go.
Church pastors pursue the glories of the world, and they will persuade you to follow the teachings of Satan's kingdom and to disobey the word of God.
Mm-mm-mm.
The week of the election in 2016, around that time period, I was kind of, you know, going to different churches and getting more absorbed in what different people's, you know, types of worship. I was a lifelong Presbyterian, but once they started ordaining homosexuals and performing same-sex marriages, I had to leave the Presbyterian church. I started going to Methodist church, and that was fine, but I said, okay, I've never gone consistently to a Baptist church, so I found the, I'm really lazy, I found the closest Baptist church to my house, and I started going there. Pastor Bob, I couldn't believe it. After the first service that I went to, there was a friend of mine that went there, and so we came out of the service, and, you know, we were talking about church and talking about other common experiences we'd had, and he says, now, John, I want you to know that we're good. Not only are we good Christians in this church, but we're good Republicans. And I said, I didn't make any comment. I just walked on, you know. As you just said, the church is not about the world. The church is about heaven.
Yeah.
So I just kind of put it there in the back drawer. Well, after the election, and I say this with great reservation, but it really did happen, and it is about, you know, the ways of the world. This minister comes in, Pastor Bob, and he says, I want to tell you today that the glories of the greatest prophecy have been revealed this last week. That Nostradamus prophesied all this 500 years ago. This is a Christian church preaching Nostradamus.
Oh.
He said he prophesied that Hillary would beat Bernie and that the Trump would sound and that we would get a new president. Which he didn't really say that, did he? I never went back.
I mean, it just scared
me that he was telling these people at this church that Nostradamus had predicted that Donald Trump would be elected president.
Oh, man. That is the shape the American church, and I just won't say American church, the Western churches are in. And it just grieves my heart. And, you know, I'll attend a church, you know, because I usually will rotate around. You'll go and speak about a radio station and stuff and promote the radio station in the churches. And I hear some of these sermons, and I'm like, okay, where's the gospel message? You know, where is this bringing glory to Jesus?
It's gone.
You know?
It's gone.
Yeah, it's all about, this is what God can do for you if you'll give him a chance. But it's not getting you born again.
Oh, that's so horrible. That's like the story I told you about my relative that was driving around a parking lot. Jesus, find me a parking place.
Yeah.
She had learned to do that at church.
Yep. Amen.
But I think, you know, when you get to the Word of God and of all of these, and you know, I say this in heartfelt sincerity and most of all in appreciation for your ministry of evangelism. They tell people in churches now that you can get to heaven by not believing in Jesus Christ. All you have to do is be a good person. Well, let me tell you what. John 14:6 is very clear. Mm. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to heaven except by me.
Yep.
How any Christian preacher that says that he works for Jesus Christ and that he proclaims the message of Jesus Christ can say there's ways to heaven other than believing in Jesus Christ? As Christians, Pastor Bob, we cannot coexist. We cannot recognize Judaism equivalent to Christianity. We cannot recognize Hindus and Buddhists. Sure, they're good people, but it's our obligation of followers of Jesus Christ to tell them Jesus is the only way.
Amen. That's right. Now, we're almost out of time. What else do you have to say today to pastors, ministry leaders, or believers in general here in America? Anything to sum up?
I think that I'll just sum up with the closing to this sermon, and I'll be honest with you, it's more delivered to the people in the pews rather than the people in the pulpits.
Okay.
We'll talk about the people in the pulpits later, but I tell the people in the pews, brothers and sisters, let us choose to follow those church pastors filled with the Holy Spirit, and let us all heed the word and say amen when Jesus calls out, surrender to me. I am the Christ, and I am coming soon to lead you through the gate of heaven.
Praise God. Amen. Now, I think we could just talk for like 2-3 hours and never cover the same topic twice.
Well, I'm trying not to repeat myself. That's why I listened to yesterday's last message. I don't want to repeat myself. Hopefully the folks that are hearing your podcast and listening to this on my website, they'll realize that the depth and the breadth of the love of Jesus Christ for the people of today is enormous.
Yeah.
He's just got to get into their hearts, and there's so many pastors that are not letting him into the church.
Yeah, amen. Now, you back at the beginning when we first started, you talked about this new page on your website called Armies of the Kingdom of Heaven. Briefly explain what the Pastor Bob page. Well, explain what that group is about and how someone can join.
Yes, all you've got to do is go there. There are basically 7 criteria and calling that are listed there, and they're very short. But I did the Pastor Bob. Where appropriate, I put a biblical reference to what that's talking about, because I want them to realize this is not even John the Apostle. It's definitely not John the Meacham, because this John is no saint. This John is a sinner, but the word from the Gospels is what's here to encourage them. Then at the end, I say, on behalf of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray that you will prayerfully consider your call to join the armies of heaven and that you will email me your enlistment. And then I have my email address there.
Amen. Now,
and the second person in the armies of heaven, you know, is you. So you and I are already in. And Helen Cook, our friend in Christ.
Yeah. Amen.
So it's the three of us right now.
Amen. Is there a website address you can give for that?
DazzlingLight.org. Everything is at DazzlingLight.org. All of the pages, the interviews, everything's at DazzlingLight.org.
Amen. And if someone wanted to purchase your book, Divine Revelation, how can they do that? Through Amazon?
As we said, there's the Heavenly Church book is also available also, but unfortunately my publisher went bankrupt. So if anybody that reads the website and says, I'd like to have the books too, all they need to do is email me and I will email them a free copy.
All right. Well, if someone wanted to get in touch with you to ask a question or possibly do an interview such as this, how can they get in touch with you?
John@dazzlinglight.org. They can email me anytime they want.
All right. Folks, I want to encourage you to reach out to John, ask him your questions, read the extensive resources he has on his website. It will get you inspired. Inspired that the soon return of Jesus is closer than ever. Inspired to help us to get the word out. Inspired to make a difference in someone's life. Inspired to pray for this nation like never before. Inspired to support John Meacham in his mission to prepare the way of the Lord's return. Go to his website at dazzlinglight.org. Just look around and ask questions. You will be blessed. You can't help but be blessed. Amen. John, thank you again for coming on the program today. I look forward to our next discussion, in a couple days. Do you know what the next
next sermon we'll do is striving for spiritual riches. So we're moving right from the world into heaven.
There you go. Amen. Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For John Meacham and myself, this is Pastor Bob Till reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.